Great to see you here this morning, and just enjoy the fellowship together, and trust you are encouraged and blessed by our time together this morning. You know, we all face difficulties in life, and as we could go around the room here this morning, and we could say, yeah, you know, what are you facing? And it's, wow, others, just the challenges and difficulties of life, and some are more tragic or difficult than others. You know, it could be just busyness. I remember in college, the busyness was the byword. Everybody's like, you know, hey, how you doing? Oh, busy, busy, busy. Everybody's busy. You know, just the challenge of busyness. And you know, it just there seems to be a resurgence of that. It's been a few years ago since I went to college, but now you talk to people and many Christians and say, hey, how's it going? It just seems like that's kind of the way life is supposed to be for the Christian anymore. Busy, busy, busy. So that may be a challenge that you are facing. It may be things breaking down. You know, the car breaks down, the water heater breaks down, something else goes. It just seems like there's always something breaking down. It may be the kids. They just don't seem to want to listen. You just talk till you're blue in the face. And you might as well just be talking to the wall because they just don't want to listen to what you want them to do, or they're not behaving the way you want them to behave. It may be an unreasonable boss. It may be, you're trying to do your work and he's constantly looking over your shoulder. It may be the bills are relentless. The bills just keep coming in. Maybe poor health. There's always a new ache or pain each morning or something else going on with the flu bug or the coronavirus. And, oh, man, you know, all of that is happening. What's going to happen now, you know? And it may be weighing on you. It may be that you just can't seem to get beyond the loss of a loved one. You know, things like these can just get you down. They can discourage you. They can even lead to depression. In fact, I came across some statistics this last week that major depressive disorder affects approximately 17.3 million Americans every year from the ages of 18 and up. 17.3 million people. That's 7.1% of our population. 1.9 million children ages 3 to 17 have diagnosed depression. 3 to 17. 1.9 million kids, 3 to 17, have been diagnosed with depression. According to the World Health Organization, close to 800,000 people die due to suicide every year around the world. That's one person every 40 seconds. Somebody calculate that out during the time of our time here this morning. Imagine that. Those people dying because of suicide. Someone every 40 seconds. The Director General of the World Health Organization says that every death is a tragedy for family, friends, and colleagues. Yet, suicides are preventable. That's the director of the World Health Organization. Suicides are preventable. And I would agree. I believe we have a bit different prescription for that based on our time together, even here this morning. So take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want to be sensitive here, but in any of the situations of which we've mentioned, anywhere from what I call a hangnail to a Holocaust, Any of these kinds of things can lead to discouragement. But I want to encourage you to guard against discouragement, to guard against even depression. Don't give up. Now, another matter that's not as grave maybe as some of these things or a tragedy in the family and so on, but it's prevalent, and I hear it among Christian circles and sometimes in our own church, and that's it may not be depression, but it's complaining. You know, if you think about it, complaining can spiral you down into discouragement and depression if you continue to focus on those matters that are weighing heavily upon you. So we need to guard against this. But as we continue in our study through 2 Corinthians, we're looking at chapter 4, Paul says this right out of the gate here this morning. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. Whatever it is that might be pressing upon you, don't lose heart. Don't lose courage or become despondent in trials. And with all that Paul went through, he didn't even complain. Think about that. And we're going to talk about that. But and all that Paul went through in life and ministry, he didn't even complain. We don't have it recorded in the scriptures. So here's your take-home thought, and that is, don't give up. Whatever it is you face, don't give up. Your confidence is in Jesus. Don't give up. Your confidence is in Jesus. Now, the emphasis of this passage is upon the nature of Paul's ministry. He was, in part, defending his ministry. We looked at that here in the last several times we've been in our study in 2 Corinthians. Paul had people who were attacking him, who were pressing in on him regarding his ministry, calling him a false teacher. And so, in part here in this passage, he's defending his ministry, and he points out that ministry was difficult. And we're going to see that to a greater extent here in chapter 6 and in chapter 11. But in all of this, he did not lose heart. There may be changes, there may be some adjustments that need to be made in life and ministry as you go. But Paul says, don't lose heart. And so the question would be, well, how do you keep from doing that? How do you keep from throwing in the towel, from giving up? Because ministry is hard. Life is hard. How do you keep from giving up? How did Paul do that? We're going to look at those passages here in weeks to come. It's like, oh my goodness, how in the world did he do it? Well, the short answer is his confidence was in Jesus. He even starts with recognizing that his ministry. Look at verse 1 here. He says, therefore, having this ministry by the mercies of God. What's he talking about here? I think of Mike Rudolph's message last week, Romans 12:1. I beg of you by the mercies of God. What's he talking about? He's talking about salvation. We don't deserve it. What we deserve is we deserve eternal death, right? That's what we deserve. We deserve eternal separation from God and in a literal eternal hell. That's what we deserve. But he starts right out of the gate by the mercy. We have this ministry by the mercies of God. And so whatever it is you're facing in this life, life and ministry, it's by the mercies of God. God is in it. And he is with you through it. And so be encouraged by this. We don't deserve salvation, let alone be entrusted with ministry. And so that since we don't deserve it, remember, your confidence is in Jesus. There may be someone here today, you're going through something in this life that's just pressing in upon you, and you don't know where to turn. And he says right out of the gate here, turn to the mercies of God. Salvation, a relationship with Jesus, is of utmost importance. We want to help you with that if you have questions about that, to surrender to Him. But we want to look at some ways to keep from giving up. This morning, ways to keep from giving up. You know, the director of the World Health Organization says suicide is preventable. And so you go to the church and you say, I'm looking for answers, I'm looking for hope. Let me tell you, in part, there is hope here this morning. This isn't an exhaustive text on how to deal with problems, but there are principles here that I want to help you with here, and God wants to help you with through His Word, ways to keep from giving up. So the church, yes, does speak to these issues. Now, not every point may speak to you, but there may be one, there may be two, there may be three out of our 4 points this morning said, wow. Yeah, that's helpful. I need that. So I want to encourage you with these truths this morning. So we do talk about suicide prevention. God has answers, and He wants to provide significant help through His Word even here today regarding the challenges of this life. Verse 2 here. Here's the first way. But we have, you know, again, we have this ministry by the mercy of God, and we don't give up. We don't lose hope. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. Here's the first way to keep from giving up, and that is live a life of integrity. Live a life of integrity. That means you have your focus where it ought to be. That you're not all over the place in life. You're focused on where it ought to be. You're open. You're honest. You're truthful about life. That's going to help you. Well, in what ways? Well, verse 2, put off deceit. If you're going to live a life of integrity, you can't be hiding. You can't be hiding behind something else. You've got to be open. And he says, we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. These are hidden ways, secrets. You don't go around keeping the secret within you. The underhanded ways are dishonesty and shamefulness. We refuse to practice cunning, trickiness, craftiness, subtlety, or tamper with God's word, to handle God's word in such a way as to deceive and to ensnare or to adulterate it, to twist the scriptures to make you say what you want it to say. He's talking about living a life of integrity, putting off that kind of deceit. We would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. Be honest. Be honest about the truths of God's word. Be honest about your life situation. Don't cover it up. Taking Paul's attitude toward ministry and applying it to life here, don't hide the issues of your heart. View them in light of the Word of God. Talk about what's going on in your heart and life. I understand that it's not the people who talk about suicide that are the ones who often follow through. It's the people who hold it in. People who don't talk about it. But you lose sight of you lose heart when you have to wonder or remember the things you're trying to cover up, the deceitfulness of this. What did I say in a particular context? I might get found out. Or when you live with integrity, you don't have to keep looking over your shoulder, questioning your heart motives. Paul was saying, hey, I was up front, I was open, I was honest regarding the gospel. I think we need that in our lives as well. Integrity gives confidence. Another challenge here and encouragement is to faithfully then live in light of the gospel. He says this in verses 3 and 4, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. Their hearts were hardened, to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Again, don't participate in secrets. Live in light. Live out the gospel. Live in light of the gospel. God is all about truth. And because of that, there's hope. No deceit. We speak the truth. We speak the truth in love. So here's a matter that I think, by way of application of this, again, in speaking the truth, not trying to get across our agenda, but God's agenda. God wants people to repent and turn to Him, right? He's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance, right? But I think the matter that needs to be addressed here is how you address cultural issues. We're living at a time when issues are becoming polarizing. And I think, and we could go, oh man, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Oh my goodness, what are we going to do? This is terrible. Look at the world around us. Hey, yeah, it can get discouraging, but we're talking about being encouraging and not losing hope. Look around and say, what an opportunity we have to shine brightly as the lights of the gospel. Right? And so as we see the contrast, we speak truth, but we need to make sure we're speaking truth in love. I remind you that Jesus is neither Democrat nor Republican. We're in this election year, and these these issues are they're just right out front and in your face, right? And there are some biblical issues at stake here, no doubt. And you know, as Christians, we're like, you know, we get all bristled up about it. But hey, we want to shine His lights, right? We want to make sure that we are showing Christ as indispensable to our community. We want to make sure that the world around us knows Jesus and the love of Jesus and all of this that's going on and seems to be breaking down around us. Jesus is the answer. And so when you post your comments on Facebook or other social media measures, be careful how you speak, because you're speaking to the people you want to reach. So make sure you're speaking the truth in love. And that's part of living a life of integrity. And you do that, and you know you're doing the right thing, and you can be encouraged as you take a stand, because you know you're taking it in the way that God wants you to take it. Integrity will help keep you from giving up. Look at verse 5. Here's another way to guard against giving up. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Christ's sake. Here's another way to guard against giving up, and that is focus your life upon Jesus. Focus your life upon Jesus. I said that just a few minutes ago. You know, integrity is being single-minded. So what is that single-mindedness focused upon? Jesus. Kind of like the Sunday school answer. What are we talking about here today, kids? Jesus! You know, that's what we're talking about. Focus your life and ministry upon Jesus. And that's going to encourage you. Life and ministry are not about you. We tend to focus on ourselves, don't we? We tend to make life all about us. How will this election affect me? And my finances, and all that I have going on in my life. Hey, listen, it may, but you know what? It's about Jesus. It's going to help you. Life and ministry are not about you. Look at verse 5. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, there it is, has shone in our hearts to give the light, the illumination from the Lord of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Life and ministry, it's not about you. But rather, life and ministry is all about Him. Now, verses 10 to 15 describe the nature of your faith. It's based upon the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Listen to this. Paul is writing, he says, we, Paul and his team, always, verse 10, carry in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed, and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that He who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into His presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. What Paul is talking about here is how his salvation, about the gospel, and how it impacted his life and his ministry for the benefit of those to whom he ministered. He's talking about, you know what? We carry around the death of Christ. I am crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. That's what he's talking about. And he's talking about, even by way of illustration, he's talking about the pressures and the difficulties, despairing even of life himself. Remember that out of chapter 1? Like, oh my goodness, we thought we were going to die. We carry this around so that we can minister the gospel to you, so that you can have life. That's what he's talking about. I mean, talk about a different perspective about what you're facing, that this may be a means by which you can communicate the gospel, the hope that there is in Jesus. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because he lives, we know there's a future. And life is worth the living because we know he lives. So focus your life and ministry upon Jesus. That gives hope. It helps you keep from losing heart. Look at verse 7. Here's another way. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Here's another way to keep from losing heart, from giving up. Understand that you are an instrument in God's hand. You hear me say that once in a while, and some of you understand it. I just illustrated again this morning. You know, we have this beautiful piano, all right? It's a really nice piano, and but you know what? It's made out of wood. It has some metal in here, has strings, beautiful keys. This is a beautiful piano. In fact, listen to this. It says Steinway and Sons. We have a Steinway piano here at FBC. This thing is awesome. But you know what? If we were to look at this piano and just say, nobody touch it. It's too valuable. Don't touch it. All right? You hear me? Don't touch it. So, you know, and we just left it set. Nobody touched it ever. And finally we said, you know what, we gotta preserve this. So we just put it in the closet somewhere, and we just didn't, we can't even afford to let people look at it. Let me ask you, what good is it? Right? It's really nothing but a hunk of wood and metal. It has some wheels on there. Roll it around maybe. But it's not till somebody puts their hands to it that we can see its value. Now, you know, I can do... Oh, man, that's a good touch. Oh, my goodness. Good touch. Oh, you know what? I can even do this. Hey. So, there's no real value to it until somebody puts their hands to it. It's merely just an instrument. But you get someone like Daryl up here, you know, and he's like, you know, whatever, you know. And he does what he does, and it's awesome. I got to thinking about this, and I thought, you know, I had this. This was in my drawer at home. Been in there for about 4 years. I haven't even thought about it till this morning. I thought, hey, I got an instrument. You know, I can play that. Oh, man. It was doing no good sitting in my drawer. It's just an instrument. Look at all these guitar, bass, drum set, keyboard. They're no good. Unless they're used by someone who knows what they're doing. In this verse here, it says, we have this treasure. What treasure he's talking about? He's talking about the gospel. He's talking about the awesomeness of who God is and all that Jesus stands for in his death, his burial, and resurrection. And he's going to talk here in a minute about the power of God. And he says, we have this treasure. Jeremy pointed this out a couple weeks ago, in earthen vessels, clay pots. That's we're just a vessel, a clay pot, just something that's used for common use. But we have this treasure, the treasure of Almighty God and His gospel in these clay pots. I'll tell you what, if that doesn't do something for your self-esteem, you know, like, oh my goodness, God has chosen to use you and me to minister His truth. Man, if that doesn't encourage you. And he goes on, he says, we have this treasure, this valuable treasure in jars of clay in order to, that's the idea here, to show that this surpassing power, you know what the word power? It comes from the word from which we get our word dynamite. This surpassing, awesome power, this dunamos, this power of the capability of Almighty God belongs to God and not to us. It's all about Him. And you are a vessel for which, through which God's power is channeled. Oh, wow. That gives you good reason not to give up. You're an instrument in His hands. And God can, and He will, and He wants to use you through whom to demonstrate His power. He can do it in any one of a number of ways, but here He's saying He has chosen to use you to do this too. Here's another way to keep from throwing in the towel, and that is take on a new perspective regarding hardship. A new perspective regarding hardship. The power of God working through us. But here's a new perspective. He says, we are afflicted. That's the word. Remember a few weeks ago we talked about phlipsis? All right? That's a Greek word. It means we're pressed in upon. It's like we're afflicted. The life situations and circumstances are pressing in upon us so that we're being squeezed. We're afflicted but not crushed. That's the idea of not being disabled. Perplexed. The idea of perplexed is scratching your head. Man, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to move forward on this situation. Have you ever been like that? Some of you are like that right now. How are we going to get through this? Perplexed. But not driven to despair. To not despair utterly. To be at the end of your rope. He says, we're perplexed, but we're not at the end of our rope. We're persecuted. We're experiencing these ongoing acts of hostility toward us, but not forsaken. We haven't been abandoned. We're struck down. The word struck down here, it has the idea of falling on your face. Paul's saying, there have been times where we have literally fallen flat on our face, but we're not destroyed. We haven't lost our lives. So, as you take on this new perspective, don't deny hardship. Just don't allow it to paralyze you. Don't deny the hardship, just don't allow it to paralyze you. Paul's pointing that out. He wasn't denying the difficulties. He just wasn't letting it paralyze him. Just recently, about a month ago, Pastor Nate has heard about this because I come in the office and you know what? I got this letter that says I owe somebody $2,800. And it was a collection agency. And they had this account that said I haven't been paying on this account. And I'm like, no way. I mean, you got to be kidding me. Now, honestly, the initial temptation was when I opened that up, go, and get rid of it. But then, wait a minute. What? I was looking at it, it's like, you got to be kidding. They want me to pay them money on this account that I don't know anything about. I've never had an account here. And again, Pastor Nate heard about this, you know. And so I thought, oh. So I started reading, and it says, if you dispute this, then, you know, send in an email and then a letter. And then, so then I got some more information and I called and I, you know, hey, I got this problem. And they said, well, you need to contact this other number. And, you know, and I was doing the hokey pokey trying to figure all of this stuff and turn myself around. And it was just crazy. And then they said, you know, you need to fill out a police report. Actually, Pastor Nate said, you know, I'd fill out a police report. I did. My point in all of this, I'm not trying to make myself a hero of this story, but I was trying to put into practice some of what I've learned about not allowing myself to fall into discouragement and depression. Yeah, I was like, oh man, what am I going to do? You know, perplexed, but not in despair. And I took action. And so my point here is that as you face something where you might be perplexed, you don't know where to turn, you don't know how to do it, you're getting to the point of discouragement and maybe even depression, you do what you know to do next. You might need some counsel, you might need some advice, you might need some direction, but do what you know to do next. It may be you just got this pile of laundry. It's like can't even reach the top of it. All of this ironing I got to get done or whatever, you know. Like, how in the world am I going to get over this? How do you overcome that? One piece at a time. You may call a friend. Hey, you want to come over and let's do ironing together or whatever, you know. Let's get somebody to come along and help you out, you know. And you start working at it. You take some steps here. You don't deny the hardship. Just don't allow it to paralyze you. Paul goes on. Verse 16. So, we do not lose heart. Here he comes back to it again. He started out, verse 1, don't lose heart. Don't give up. He comes back to verse 16. So, we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Here it is. View hardship in light of eternity. View hardship, whatever you're going through, in light of eternity. Let me walk you through this text once again. Verse 16. So we don't lose heart. Literally, we don't lose courage or become despondent in your trials, whatever it is you're facing. Though our outer self is wasting away, our bodies are going to one day decay wholly, completely decay. And it's creeping up on us. We went out to dinner with some friends yesterday and for their birthday, and we realized, you know what, we're getting older. We're sounding like those old people that we used to laugh about, you know. They give us our organ recitals. Well, we were right there, organ recital and all, you know, just telling about all our aches and pains. Outwardly, we're wasting away. But our inner self is being renewed day by day. God, as we look to Him and trust in Him, is putting an end to our corruptness, our depravity, our moral being is being totally changed by God day by day. For, or because, verse 17, this light affliction, it's not heavy, it's easy to bear, it's a light, momentary, and in fact, the word momentary means almost unnoticed. Think about that when you think about your difficulties in light of eternity. For this light and momentary affliction, there it is again, the flipsis, it's squeezing in upon you. Whatever it is, it's pressing in upon you. Mark Lowry says the most comforting words in the Scripture are, and it came to pass. It didn't come to stay, it came to pass. All right? The here and now is not all that there is. It's light and momentary in light of eternity. And this light and momentary affliction that's squeezing in upon you is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory that's far more substantive than whatever affliction it is you're facing. And I'm not trying to deny your affliction. Again, we could go around the room and say, man, I'm going through a rough time. You know, I just shared just one that I'm going through. It's like, I just hope it's done and over with. But it's light and momentary in the face of eternity. And it's preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison as we look not to the things that are seen, that's the present things, but to the things that are unseen. That is what we look ahead to, the future and eternity. For the things that are seen are transient. They're just for a season. They're not lasting. But the things that are unseen are eternal. So you take on a different perspective, a new perspective regarding your hardship. Looking unto Jesus. Man, this life is hard. It's difficult. It's challenging. But we look ahead to eternity. So, be encouraged. As you think of these truths here today, be encouraged as you realize God's got this. Whatever this is for you, realize God's got it. It's not beyond God. He is at work in it and through it. We sang about that even this morning already. God's got it, whatever it is. And some of you are in the thick of some challenging life issues. I'm not going to call you out this morning. You know what they are. I know what some of them are. But I don't know everybody, what everybody's going through. But I just want to encourage you. God's Word speaks to these truths. Paul was looking at life and ministry. Like, man, look at all of the challenges that Paul was facing as he was ministering the gospel, but the gospel gave him hope because of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need your help. We need your hope. Thank you that we have the Lord Jesus and the hope of salvation. Without you, we can do nothing. As we said, we're mere instruments in your hands, but may we be willing instruments. May we be available to be used of you. May we be transformed by the power of your Spirit working in our hearts and lives to live faithfully for you as shining lights of testimony to your glory as we go through the challenges of life. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, I just pray that that will be your testimony in light of these truths. If you're not going through them, you have gone. If you're not going through them now, you will go through the challenges. But you can be a shining light for Jesus through it. I hope these principles, these truths help you. In fact, even in our digging deeper, we have some ways in which you can, a passage you can study to discover more truths on how to help you with this. We want you to have hope. If you're here this morning without hope, we want to help you, first of all, with salvation through Jesus Christ and how then to take and apply these principles to your life. And we'd like to hear how God has spoken to you through His Word from everybody. We'd like everybody to fill out a connection card from the pew in front of you or through YouVersion or through our website. Jot down how God's spoken to you. If it's personal, if it's private, check for pastors only. But be encouraged. Be encouraged with these truths. Ask God to help you. As we think of these things, we realize that because of the gospel, we have purpose. That's what people, they lose purpose in life. That's when they give up. Be encouraged that you have purpose. You're going to take an offering and place your connection card in the offering. Again, your offering is a way of thanking God for the purpose and direction, the hope that you have in life, and for allowing the ministry to continue. So give faithfully as unto the Lord. Father, help us now in all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.